Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Narration by George podcast, the podcast on audiobooks, spiritual ideas, and other items of interest. This is podcast number 37. So has it hit you yet? As I record this podcast, Thanksgiving is less than 2 weeks away. Christmas is just a few days over 5 weeks away. So are you thinking about those Christmas presents yet? How about those holiday trips in the car or on the plane? Audiobooks might be one way to satisfy those thoughts. Maybe someone's looking for a good listen for a long trip. Well, there are about 50 different audiobooks in all kinds of genres on my website. All are available to be downloaded to your favorite listening device. Maybe you ladies are looking for a wonderful but encouraging romance. My newly released book, The Roman's Quest, might be just the ticket. You guys may be looking for the adventure you find in the two Nighthawk books. Perhaps you're looking for a mystery with some bite. Check out Nonprofit Murders. Or maybe you prefer a holiday-oriented book. I have a new production of A Christmas Carol, complete with new narration and sound effects, available for download now. Check it all out on my website. That's narrationbygeorge.com/books. If you can hold off until December, you can join in the fun for some Narration by George freebies. Yes, I said that magic word, freebies. Starting December 1st, I'll be giving away 3 audiobooks. Everyone can get a chance to download and listen to a marvelous short story called A Christmas Miracle. This book is narrated by the author, Donna Patton, and tells the story of both tragedy and triumph in 19th century London. Everyone will also get a story a day in December, starting on December 1st. These stories are taken from Joni Heilman's book, Miracles, 32 True Stories. Each day in December, a new story will be available for download. The last story will be available on New Year's Day of 2016, along with the introduction to the book. And finally, here's the biggest giveaway. I'm going to give away an audiobook a day from my collection of books. All you do is enter with a direct message to me saying, "Yes, I want a book." You can do that on my Facebook page or through Twitter. And don't forget to like the Facebook page or follow me on Twitter if you haven't done so. At the end of the podcast, I'll give you the addresses. You don't have to wait until December to enter either. You can do that now. All of the fun starts December 1st, so don't miss out. In the meantime, you have a short drive, maybe an hour or less, to Grandma's house for Thanksgiving. This book might be a great listen for that journey. It's called Once Upon a Christmas Eve. I talked with the author of this story, Anne Baxter Campbell, a few weeks back. Here's what she had to tell me about the book. Let's talk for a minute about Once Upon a Christmas Eve. I love this little book. I really did. It was such a cool little story. Where'd this idea come from?
I was watching a Christmas story on TV. I have no idea right now what one that was. And this story just sort of started seeping into my mind, and so I wrote it.
Okay.
This story is actually what got me started with Helping Hands Press.
Oh, cool.
I had written it, and I just sort of set it aside, and I didn't know what to do with it. I knew it was too long for a magazine. It was too short, obviously, for a novel or even a novella. But I felt strongly that God wanted me to write it, and it just flowed when I was writing it.
Mm-hmm.
It was no difficulty in writing it.
Mm-hmm.
No writer's block. The whole thing went very smooth.
Gotcha.
It was my first attempt at writing something that was for teenagers. And I ran it past some teenage girls in my church. And I said, you know, how does this sound to you? Does it sound like things that a girl would say of that age? And their mother, or one of the girls' mothers, was is also a teacher of high school students, and she helped me. Both of them helped me with the language and her age. At first, I had her older than what she wound up being, and one of the girls told me, you know, this is really juvenile for a girl to behave in this manner, you know, 16, 17 years old and still behaving this way, it just, you're not going to see that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to make her much younger.
Right.
Or a little younger.
Right.
But she still had to be a teenager.
Right. Right.
So I made her as old as I could without going past that limit.
One of the things I loved about the book, you really weave the gospel into the story without being preachy. I mean, through Harold, she comes to understand who Christ is. That was joyful to read. It was really kind of amazing to me. I remember reading it and going, wow.
Wow. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. But
I finally wound up sending it to Kathy Macias because she's a friend of mine.
Right.
And I said, I don't know what to do with this. Can you give me some advice? And she said, well, let me get back to you because I'm sort of swamped right now. And so a couple of days later, she got back with me and she said, you know, this is a pretty good story, and I think I know someone who might publish it.
Uh-huh.
And that was the beginning. At first I said no because I checked out what was Trestle Press was what it was going with then, and it was a self-publisher.
Mm-hmm.
And I had had some pretty bad experiences with a self-publisher, and I didn't want to go that route again.
Uh-huh.
And but she got back with me a little later, and it happened to be in, like, October or something like that. And she said, I think I know someone who might like to publish your work. And that's how I got acquainted with G. She introduced me and been there ever since.
This is not your only Once Upon book, though, right?
No. This begins a series of stories about different holidays. And it's the story of beginning with Jillian, that she is a spoiled, rotten brat to start off with, demanding her own way. And then through this angel, Harold, she learns that maybe the world does not revolve around her.
Mm-hmm. Go back to your favorite passage. Set that up for us so we can play that.
Okay. Jillian wakes up on Christmas Eve, and she's all excited because it's Christmas Eve. You know, and she may be a young teenager, but she still, you know, she still gets excited over Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And she's had kind of a squabble with her parents, and she's hoping they have forgiven her and will allow her to go out with her friends on the next day on Christmas Day. She comes bounding down the stairs, hollering for Mom. And Mom doesn't answer. There's no sound in the house. And so she starts looking. And she looks in the kitchen, of course, first. Well, she hears a sound behind her. And there is this unbelievable-looking, very, very tall man.
Let's listen to this sample from Ann Baxter Campbell's Once Upon a Christmas Eve. Christmas Eve, 2013. Jillian jumped out of bed. Christmas! Tomorrow is Christmas! She pulled on a red sweatshirt and an old pair of jeans, thrusting her feet into a pair of furry green slippers. She ran down the steps, two at a time. Maybe Mom had changed her mind. Mom! Hey, Mom! Silence. She reached the bottom of the stairs and walked into the kitchen. Mom? At the sound of a footstep behind her, she whirled. A very tall, skinny, blonde man stood at the entry from the hall. She gasped and gulped. Who are you? I'm Harold. The man made it sound like the name should explain everything. Harold must have just shaved and washed his face, because it sort of shone. Pink cheeks, perfect eyebrows, pale blue eyes. Not even a trace of a beard, lips that were too red. His floor-length white coat sparkled with what? Diamond dust? Nah, Probably glass. No one would put that many diamonds on a coat. In fact, why would anyone wear a coat? It wasn't cold. Where's my mom, and what are you doing here? She was called away, I guess, and you might say, I'm your guardian angel. Jillian backed up until the kitchen table stopped her. Dad! She screamed. Nothing. Harold just stood there in his sparkly coat and smiled a toothy smile. But his eyes didn't smile. His eyes looked gloomy, not smiley. Jillian whirled and ran down the hall. Dad! Mom! The wads of blankets and sheets at the end of the four-poster bed made it obvious they were not there. She pushed the open bathroom door wide. A toothbrush lay abandoned in the sink, white paste drying in a glob. Where are they? She felt sick. She placed one hand on the wall and the coolness of the tile steadied her. When she turned around, Harold knelt in front of her, his eyes about level with hers. Wow, was he ever tall? I'm supposed to take care of you. Jillian screamed and ran past him down the hall, screaming again. She jerked open the front door and fled outside, slamming the door behind her. No cars drove on the street in front of the house, no sound of traffic from the freeway, no neighbors out collecting their morning papers. In fact, no morning papers. No one anywhere except that guy in the long white coat. Now he stood outside the door, looking a little confused. I'm sorry, I seem to be failing in my job. Where are my parents? They're, somewhere else. And where is that? Where is somewhere else? Remember what you said yesterday? Jillian remembered it too perfectly. But, Mom, all the kids are going, my whole class. I'll be the only one not there. It's the biggest party of the year. I'm sorry, Jillian. I told you you couldn't go today if your room was still in the same shape it was yesterday. It's not fair. You promised I could go. You even let me get the toboggan. Mom shook her head. The sled is going back. You can't do that. Everybody will hate me. I told them I was bringing it. Jenny doesn't have one, and she was going to ride with me. You should have thought of that yesterday. No, no, Mom. I'll go clean it right now, okay? It's too late. Yes, you will clean it today, but you're still not going to the party. You're grounded. Mom's lips formed a thin, straight line. I hate you. Jillian's voice raised an octave. I'm sorry to hear that, because I love you. No, you don't! Jillian shrieked as loud as her lungs and voice box would allow. You wouldn't treat me this way if you loved me. I wish you were dead. Dad's growl sounded from the hallway, and he came into view with a scowl on his face as he buttoned his shirt sleeves. Watch how you speak to your mother, young lady.
You always take her side. I wish you'd never been born.
Up to your room, now, Dad pointed to the stairway. Jillian screamed through gritted teeth, and she swore at them as she ran up the stairs. Jillian's heart stopped.
But I didn't mean that. They knew I didn't mean it.
Did they?
I was just mad. People say things when they're mad.
Now that's one possibility for listening on the drive to Grandma's house. You can find more at my website. Go to narrationbygeorge.com/books. As I've said before, there are all kinds of books there, along with samples to help you decide what you'd enjoy best. So have you liked my Facebook page yet? Check it out by searching Narration by George on Facebook. Or are you following me on Twitter? You can do that by searching at Narration by Geo, or click on the link to this podcast for links to everything mentioned here. Go to narrationbygeorge.com, click on podcasts on the menu. If you're not into social media, you can just email me, george@narrationbygeorge.com. And don't forget to enter the holiday giveaway. Just send me a message. Yes, I want a book.
either by email, on Facebook, or on Twitter, your name will go in the hat for the giveaway starting December 1st. Well, that's our podcast for today. Be sure to join me next week when the Narration by George podcast, the podcast on audiobooks, spiritual ideas, and other items of interest, will again be new. In the meantime, God has blessed you. Share those blessings with others.